Hey, you want that to go?
Time for takedowns on stories we're following this week, and this today at least, the big story is that it is tax day. You may not be a Tea Party activist rallying at Freedom Plaza in D.C. Maybe you're a procrastinator and you're trying to get your taxes together at the last minute so you can get to the post office before they close. Our next guest, though, says based on your taxes, he can tell what kind of person you are to a certain extent and what kind of year you had, the story of your year in your 1040. Good morning, Alan Dlugash, tax partner at Marks, Panath & Schrone.
How are you?
So tell me a little bit about this. When you sit down and look at somebody's taxes, you're constructing, as you describe it, the story of their year.
That's correct. I know exactly what happened to them during the year by just looking at the nature of their income, their deductions, and what I need to know to file their tax return.
Well, I mean, it seems obvious that you'd be able to tell whether that person was organized or not. But what else can you tell about somebody by looking at their tax returns?
Well, I can tell by the, especially comparing with prior years, whether their income was up or not, whether they've been able to save money, whether they have earn more money at work, whether they're still at the same job, whether they're working at a job that requires them to pay more expenses in order to keep their job. Those kind of things are very, I tell you a lot about them.
But it seems to me you can also tell, you also get, learn a little bit about their family life. If they're turning in receipts, you're figuring out what they're spending their money on, right?
Of course. If they're, by their medical deductions, sometimes they've not had a good year. Sometimes they've had a really stretch to pay their medical bills. Sometimes their taxes have gone up, their real estate taxes to be a real stretch. Maybe they're able to save more money. They refinanced their mortgage at a lower rate, or maybe they had to borrow more money because it hasn't been a good year. Or maybe their kids are in school now, high tuition bills. They're, for those kind of credits, need to know all about that.
Alan, you know, you're a nice guy, but I have to say, I'm more like the Tea Party folks. The idea that people can learn about me through my tax form actually scares the bejesus out of me, and I actually don't want anything about me to be represented in my 1040 form at all.
I'm very sensitive to that, and it's one of the problems that I always talk about. If you want to maximize the deductions, you've got to come forth with a lot of personal information.
Interesting.
Especially if you're examined. If the IRS examines you, you really got to come forth and show all of that stuff.
You know, Alan, you probably also get, to a certain extent, you become kind of a tax therapist, because I know, at least among my group of friends, there's a lot of guilt associated with the end of year taxes about rounding up what you spent money on, whether you saved, how much you put away or did not put away.
Also, one of the questions I need to ask people is, where did the rest of your money go? Because there's so many deductions out there that I can't possibly ask for every single deduction. I have to know basically where all the money went. And very often when people try to put it together, they can't find where the money went.
So they don't know themselves.
They have no way. It seems to have dissipated through leaky holes in the boat.
So do you look at your own tax returns this way? Do you look at them as kind of your memoir of my year by Alan Dlugash?
I do, and I find that the same, it's humbling, because I find the same problems that my clients can't answer, I can't answer for myself.
But does it have a happy ending each year, or is it kind of a gripping thriller where in the end everybody dies?
Well, it's really interesting, because I can almost see by looking at the microcosm of all my clients together, I have a picture of what's happening in the economy. I mean, it's humbling, but the big advantage that I have that other people don't have is, for me, I have a huge sigh of relief after April 15th, because all these 12 o'clock nights are finally coming to an end.
And I'm sure you're looking forward to a good night of rest tonight. Alan Dlugash, I know you're busy today, tax partner at Marks, Panath & Schrone. Thanks so much for joining us.
Let's listen to some of your voices in this next takeout.
Keep the spotlight on Oklahoma.
Kel was one of our many listeners in Oklahoma who heard us talking about two state senators about the growth of militias in their state. He continues,
"This state is full of gun-toting crazies right now who are trying to force their way through in the laws of our state, and it is beginning to really concern the rest of us here in Oklahoma."
This is Barbie Gusnell from Pawnee, Oklahoma. Down here, things have reached a point when, trust me, they're going to be selling Tim McVeigh commemorative T-shirts. any minute now.
But Ben from Indiana posts to our site, I don't see what the big deal is. 23 other states already have state-recognized militias. Indiana also has one. It's called the Indiana Sedentary Militia. And the southern section of the ISM is trained right along with the Indiana National Guard. All the other state militias seem to be relatively respectable groups of people. What's the big deal?
And as for the question of whether the Oklahoma militia would ever need to defend itself from the federal government, Blackie in New York posts to our site, silly. The U.S. would never send troops into Oklahoma. Then again, they do have a lot of oil. More of the conversation on our site, and you can join at thetakeaway.org.
Also at our site, you can catch up on our series DIY Bailout. We have some tips there on how to bail yourself out when the government isn't giving you one. Yesterday, it was all about tricks.
Silly rabbit. Tricks are for kids.
Not that kind of tricks. The kind of tricks that make you save money without knowing it. Polly in Florida posts, I once learned there's a finite amount of money you earn in your lifetime, and once you spend it, it is gone. At 42, I embraced this concept and committed to saving 25% of what I earned each week by automatically placing that amount in my savings account. I pay myself first and then take care of the bills. So tell us how you trick yourself into saving at thetakeaway.org.
One trick is to tell them stories that don't go anywhere.
Yeah, well, Grandpa Simpson is up to his old tricks. It's not really a savings trick, but we're talking also on the program about a new study that says people actually do get wiser with age. You can find out more on our site, thetakeaway.org. We got the conversation started early, and you can weigh in just like Lois in Bayfield, Wisconsin did. She posts, I definitely feel I am wiser at 50-plus than I was in early adulthood. You almost can't help it. And now after multiple careers, I have the wonderful job of coaching others to find their calling in the second half of life. Still learning and growing myself along the way. Reach us with your take at 877-8-MY-TAKE, oh wise ones, or by visiting the website at thetakeaway.org.